So, we begin now. In terms of identity in the Hare Krishna movement, is something that affects us all, because we come into this movement and we already have a particular conditioning, a particular life. We've lived for so many years independent, suddenly we come in a movement which starts to dictate how we're supposed to live and get involved in our life in many ways. So obviously between the two it creates a certain amount of conflict.
We have some notebooks at Mara's, I don't know if you want to.
If I want to.
Should I?
Oh yeah, sure. I think if you take notes, it may be useful. So please do take some notebooks.
We have some pens there. Do you
have
So, while the notebooks and pens are going around, we are speaking, continuing with this morning, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Priyojana. Sambandha was to re-establish our lost relationship with Krishna. Abhideya was the process, and Priyojana was when that relationship comes to its full perfection, to love of God. So, we will first spend some time with our re-establishing our relationship with Krishna and making our connection stronger. We're losing a letter on the screen, I see that. Okay, while we're doing the technical adjustments, we will just talk a little bit. That's good. A little more. Get a white line. Yeah, you're still at the very top. See, at the time of death, who will come with? Again. Okay, that's as far as you get then. Okay, perfect. It's not completely rectangular, but we'll get over that. So everyone fasten your seatbelts, and there's no walking in the corridors now because we're ready for takeoff, and that's it. Because otherwise we can't take off. Because I need to sort of when you speak, that it is a type of meditation, and if there's notebooks and pens and projectors and to be adjusted, doesn't work, at least not with me, because multitasking is not my doesn't work in this process. It's only single minded. We begin with a little story about a king who had four queens, and during his entire life he had relationships with these queens. The first queen he loved the most. And whatever she desired, the king would faithfully serve her. He was always there to pay attention to whatever her needs were. And His love for her was very deep, very deep, and he could never deny her any requests. The second queen was very beautiful, very beautiful. So the king sort of felt proud having such a beautiful queen, and he was therefore providing nice dresses and gold and everything, and he was taking this queen to public occasions to show off, and in this way he was quite pleased with the second queen as well. The third queen, she was very expert at talking and discussing, and so he would spend hours with her just revealing his mind to her, and in this way they also had a very intimate relationship. The fourth queen was very beautiful and expert and qualified, but for some reason the king had no interest in her, and he was just neglecting her, never asked her if she needed anything, didn't pay any attention to her at all. And in this way, life went on, and she suffered throughout her life being neglected by the king. So, since it was a Vedic context, at the time of death, it was expected that the queens would voluntarily enter into the fire. So the king was sort of at his deathbed and speaking to his queens, and he asked the queens, "So who will come with me?" The first queen replied, "The one you love most. I won't even go one step with you." So he was very shocked, very shocked. He had his whole life done everything for this queen, and she just said to him, "I won't even go one step with you." So, heartbroken, he turned to the second queen. And the second queen says, "I'm just waiting for the time when you will die so I can go marry someone else." Another slap in his face. It was very heavy. So he asked his third queen, the one who was expert at talking and discussing, and said, she said, "I will come with you, but only to the doorstep." The fourth queen, however, the one he had always neglected throughout her life, replied, "I will never leave you, and I will always accompany you in happiness and in distress." So just see, in the end, the one he neglected was the faithful one. Got some realizations there. Very late in life, very, very late. It took till the very moment before he recognized the soul. The first queen is the body he loved the most. The second queen, we can see, was very beautiful, and he would always decorate her and show her off to the entire world, the mind. Third queen was good for discussions and so on, and sorting things out, the intelligence. But the fourth queen, although very beautiful, neglected throughout life. But that was the only one that came with him. A little story about priorities in life, basically. Our own priorities are obviously the soul, not the body, nor the mind. The intelligence should serve the soul. Like that, it ought to be, but it is not like that entirely. Although we would like to believe that that's how it is for in, since we are devotees, and since the philosophy "you're not the body" is sort of ABC, yeah, therefore we would think that, well, obvious, you know, this is self-evident, dear Watson. It is self-evident. This hardly seems to need discussion. But it's not a fact, because if we do a little bit of introspection and we have a somewhat closer look at ourselves, right, and we just ask the words that Sanatana Goswami asked, "King Ami, who am I? Kenam Jara Tapatraya, why am I suffering from the threefold miseries?" Because we are suffering. still suffering, dressed up with tilak, kunti mala, chanting Hare Krishna, still suffering. We hear Prabhupada's books and say, yes, it is the truth, but still suffering. In spite of everything, so many good things in life, but still not satisfied. Therefore, a little introspection may still be in its place. Well, you know, I don't know, Doc. For the first time, I feel like I fit in. Of course, you fit in. It is the Hare Krishna movement. Anybody fits in, supposedly. This is the place where the whole world can fit in. Anybody. And that's what you notice. I remember that I finally joined the temple, and then I will find all these nice people who are just like me. Yeah? It wasn't like that. Actually, that person who I couldn't stand, who I thought was just the emblem of everything he shouldn't be, he somehow also joined the Hare Krishna. That was really too much, you know. I mean, yeah, what a thing. You know, so again, I was stuck with him. Again, he was also there. That's really too much. The prototype of everything I didn't like was also a devotee. That was a shock and a half. So everyone fits in. It is sometimes very difficult because all these different people, they are together in the same movement. Totally opposites. Totally opposites. Everyone fits in, yes, and we have to live with them. And that's quite a problem. Right? I wish not everybody would fit in. But I wish only you know what I mean? Only nice people like me would fit in, you know? That would be much easier. So, it's something, a movement that accepts anyone from any culture, any race, creed, anywhere from around the world and mixes it all together. And there you are. I mean, have you ever lived with Japanese? It's not easy. They are Japanese are Japanese, you know, and nice. But they have particular ways about things, you know. Kamikaze. Or something like that, right? So, you know, I have seen different things. I am from Holland in Europe, and Europe is such a place, every country is so different. I used to go to France, and then in the temple, they had a very nicely decorated temple room with little lights at the little chandeliers at the side of the wall. But there was one little problem with those chandeliers. There was no switch to turn them on and off. So the devotees would just turn the light bulb. They'd turn the bulb and blow on their fingers. And this was a daily ritual to turn off the light. Why don't you make a switch, right? It's all right, there's no problem. There's no problem at all. You could make a little cord, you know, like a little. It doesn't look bad, it looks nice, you just pull it, and it works really good. Oh, there's no problem, Babu. But it looks absolutely beautiful. I mean, the whole room looked very beautiful, very tastefully decorated, first class, and deities also, fabulous darshan. Then I'd go to, after France, I'd go to Germany for a little while, on purpose. And there, of course, everything worked perfectly, you know, like clockwork, everything. But the decoration was not as good as in France, you know. I mean, France was, in that way, very ahead, you know. The deities in France were dressed, you know, like in a gorgeous way, very impressive. And in Germany, it was a little stiff, you know. Right, a little stiff. What can we say? It didn't have that flair, you know. So conditioning is such a thing. Karma is such a thing. And it's not artificial. Not artificial. We may think that, well, you know, this is on the bodily platform, and Prabhupada told us, you're not American, you're not Indian, you're not this, you're not that. But on the other hand, you know, we do feel that we are something. You're not Indian, yes, that's okay. Okay, yes, yes, yes. But can I have chapatis, please, you know, and some rice and dal, you know? I mean, yeah, you know, pakoras, samosas. Whereas, you know, if you're from America, then you go for peanut butter sandwiches with jelly on top, right? with strawberry jam. Wow, ecstasy, right? For an American. So we have so many habits, so many different things, and all that has to fit together. It is it's quite something. So, are we living happy together with all our differences? Or is it a little different, difficult? Well, what made you think, in the first place, that the purpose for being together was to be always happy together? Huh? Maybe the Germans are the purification for the French, and maybe the French are the purification for the Germans. Who knows, sir? I mean, like that, you can't say it. Association of devotees is not only meant to be inspiring, it's not only meant to give us nectar, but it is also for purification. This means that one should be more tolerant than a tree, more humble than a blade of grass, and yes, one should be ready to offer all respects to others in such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name constantly. So, sometimes tolerance is required, and sometimes more than we have. As we are doing the introspection, I like this quote from the introduction of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. To know Krishna is to know oneself. And to know oneself is to know one's relationship with Krishna. So this brings us really to ourselves, because we don't know who we are. We think we know who we are, but we are not really ourselves. To know Krishna is to know oneself. Because in our relationship with Krishna, then everything falls into place. Then we are becoming really our true self. In our relationship with Krishna, we have to adjust to Krishna. In the adjustment to Krishna, we come to our real position. We come to who we really are. When we are alone, well, you can think so many things. You can think like, well, I know that I know, and then something comes in, something you know. I have so many diplomas, I have so many degrees, I am learned, I am qualified, I am intelligent, I have a very high EQ. Not only that, but there are many things I can do, fly planes, sail submarines, and what can I not do? In this way, we count our attributes. But in front of Krishna, it's different. It is different. Even very thousand people may be tested in front of Krishna because the conditions are not right. So in front of Krishna, one cannot remain any other platform as I'm just a servant and I depend on His mercy. And I'll do what I can, but the success depends on Him. That can only be the attitude in front of Krishna. In devotional service, you have to be prepared to do anything. I came into New York, and I had just arrived, and Ramaprasad Swami, the GDC, came out of his room looking desperate. Is there anybody here who can drive? And he saw me, "Can you drive?" And I knew I was in trouble. And I said, "Oh, great, great, fantastic, you know." I didn't tell him, I'd just been flying, you know, the whole night, and, you know, I might even fall asleep, you know. Anyway, okay, there I was. I got the keys, and a devotee took me to the car. And he ran around the block, and the car was a big yellow truck with a flat bed on the back. And I looked at that and thought, boy, I don't know if I have a license for this, but it was too late. And there was, opened the door for me and said, "Hey, Maharaj." And there I was, driving the truck, and the Harinam party was on the back. And they'd given me a non-driver as a navigator. So he goes, "Turn right here." Three lanes of traffic, which is dangerous in America. You get shot for less, you know. So anyway, in New York, so people were shaking fists at me. Sorry. And then the guy next to me said, "Drive slow, we're always driving slow." So he wanted me to drive as slow as a tractor. So all the traffic is honking back and forth. Oh my God, what a scene. And then I was thinking, never again. I don't know how I got myself into this scene. You know? I mean, why in the world did I surrender? It's a philosophy to surrender, right? In Krishna consciousness, surrender. This is how it was. And I drove on, and at one point, there's suddenly all these sirens and police cars cutting in front of me. I think I'm finished, and they're busting me for not having the right license. And I locked me off, and this and that. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And then they went past me on the sidewalk, and there was a little boy who had been caught stealing in 7 cops, all armed with guns. America, put your hands in the cops, split your feet. Okay, you see that on TV. So, anyway, that was New York. I did something there I never thought I had ever done in my life. Drive a big yellow truck to New York. If you would have told me, I would have said, "Hey, if you would have said, we pay you, $1,000 for driving a big yellow truck to New York," I'd go, "You know, you think I'm crazy or something." But I did it for Krishna, not for $1,000. So, in the service of Krishna, we get to extend our abilities. Sometimes they think that when you become a Hare Krishna devotee, that, well, you become very narrow-minded. Hare and Krishna. And that's it. Right? And that's your world from that day on. Nothing else, you know. Hare and Krishna, that's it. So, there were two friends, and they were from Scotland. Then they came to the New World, Australia, right? To start a new life, right? So they were looking for some adventure, and it was getting a bit boring, so they decided to join the fire brigade. Don't joke, we joined the fire brigade. Yes. And they joined the fire brigade, and there they went. Yes, at night, sleeping in full uniform, going down the slippery pole. Whop! Jump on the engine and out the door. Of course, most of the time it was the kitchen curtain or something like that. And it's already out by the time you get there. Yeah? So it's not as exciting as you think it is, you know. Sometimes a cat to be saved from a tree, and those kind of things. You know, you're hoping for a real fire, you know. Then, oh, then, finally, we're going to have a real fire. So they were waiting, and at one point, one of the two came across this devotee who gave him a book, and he became interested, and so on. You know what happened? He shaved his head, and left only this little clump of hair. But he couldn't move to the temple because they didn't have a replacement in the fire brigade. So for a little while, he's still bald head and all in uniform, slippery pole and putting out fires, you know. And his friends are saying, "Job, what are you doing? You're throwing everything away. How can you do this? Please, please, you know, don't do it." But he was just very determined, and he disappeared into that narrow-minded cult and sect, you know, where his whole world was to be reduced to Hare and Krishna. You know, it's like when your whole worldview goes into a tiny little box. Basically, that's what happened to him. Okay? So, 25 years went by, and the two old friends, somehow or other, met each other on the street corner. "Jock, how are you doing so long?" And he said, you son of a gun. And sure enough, after punching each other a bit, as they do in Scotland and Australia as well, they were happy to see each other. And, how are you coming in? Still with the fire brigade? Yes, still with the fire brigade. Still, slippery ball and all, slippery like anything, you know. And still going to the same bar? Yes. Don't tell me. You're still sitting on that same bar stool, on the same corner of the bar every night? Sure do. But in this way, you know, nothing changed. And about our narrow-minded Hare Krishna, well, you know, he had traveled all over the world. He has climbed the Himalayas, gone to the source of the Ganga, been on TV many times, given interviews to many newspapers, shook the hands of heads of state, has been giving lectures in universities in front of large audiences. He had taken cruisers, people on boats on the ocean, although he didn't know how to sail, but somehow or other, the Krishna, everything becomes the impossible. Impossible is a word in a full dictionary, Prabhu. In this way, somehow or other, when the two met, we could see who was the narrow one and who was the broader one. Because although we think that in Krishna consciousness, we become narrow, it's not a fact. Because in the world, you get educated to be a bookkeeper, and that's what you will be for the rest of your life, you know, crunching numbers. But in the Hare Krishna movement, it's not like that. Can you cook? Not really. Ah, well, it's easy, Guru. It's easy. You just put the water on the stove and throw it in, you know, like, and then you boil it for half an hour, and then you go, you know, turn it on a low simmer for another 10 minutes. Don't lift the lid, no matter what you do, and then just turn it off. Everything will be fine. Okay. Did you get that? Yeah, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, is that all right? Yeah. Okay, well, there you go, you know. Well, that was great, Prabhu. That was a great brekkie today, you know. All glory, and glory to the cooks. It was the first time in the kitchen. And 1 week later, you're in charge of the kitchen. Krishna empowers you. Don't worry. Krishna empowers you. Hare Krishna movement. Welcome. So after all that, I want to go to a little more serious point now. Here follow the dynamics of what we must be, what we can be, and what we want to be. It's not so, these three are not the same. That is a fact. And we can, of course, explore that a little bit. We can look at some tension points. There's a mic, can you catch? He can. There's a switch on it. And can you identify some tension points between these two? You have to flick the switch.
Yeah.
Is it flipped?
It is flipped, but
it's not working.
It's not working.
Okay, don't worry. We'll work without the mic for a moment. It's working now.
Hare Krishna.
think the one that really sticks out is what you want to be.
Huh?
What do you want to be?
What is both that?
Well, really, I mean, there's a lot of potential for tension between the other 2 points and that point. I mean, you might want to do a lot of things, you might want to be a lot of things, you might want to be really great at some particular in some particular area, but you might have physical limitations. There might be circumstances that prevent you from doing that.
That's what we can be, and what we mustn't be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, choose someone and give someone life. So, whoever has it now, speak in the mic, though. Get this off again.
Hare Krishna. What you must be, what that makes me think about is what everyone expects us to be. And trying to be truthful in that situation. By living up to your own expectation of what you should be is what rings true for me. And what you want to be is what we want to be, who we want to be. I suppose we all want to be the best we can be. And then what we can be is limitless. We can be anything. I don't know if that's how I feel about that.
Okay. I'm going to ask you the next question. How do you think Srila Prabhupada would answer this question? Now we can pass on the mic. What would he say? Just give it to someone, it doesn't matter. It's not a matter of wanting. You have to say, no more passing on. It's finished that game. Just speak. If you must have an idea. What would he think we must be? You're not having one.
We must be re-established in our natural position as a servant of
Krishna
and his virtues.
Mm-hmm.
We must be Krishna conscious, right? So we said that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what about what we can do, what the Prabhupada say? She said that we would have, that we can really be anything. What would Prabhupada say?
Really necessary.
Okay, everyone can say, because what would Prabhupada say? Yeah.
You can only be your natural constitutional position.
Can people in the back hear in?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You can only be your natural constitutional position.
Yeah.
You can only be what you are. Yeah, true. If you're a flower boy, you cannot be a gopi. But Shiva tried to dress up like a gopi and enter into the rasa dance and sneak in. And then Krishna just said, "Ah, Lord Shiva! How nice to see you. I was just needing someone, because there are so many personalities who want to enter into this Rasa-Hens without authorization, I needed someone to stand guard. What we can be. What can we be? Anything? If Krishna allows, if Krishna sanctions. Without Krishna, we cannot be anything. Right? You can be anything you want unless Krishna allows. If Krishna doesn't allow, you cannot blink an eye. If Krishna, like I was saying the other day about karma, if Krishna wants, then you become reduced. Right? Here we go again. Have you gone through it before? I have. Okay, on the bench again. Okay, Krishna is wanting me now to tolerate. Now Krishna just wants me to go through this and tolerate it. And tolerate it. Here we go again. I came by India to Australia, and 2 hours before the flight, someone said, I just knocked up a sermon in Jagannath Puri. I said, oh, it's really nice, thank you. Crunch. It was a little dry, a little harsh. And there it went. Anyway, just made it to the dentist, a real quick emergency job. Okay, still in the plane with a mouth like this. And I could have. That's a special flight. Krishna decides what we be. We depend on Krishna. Anyway, these things, what we must be, what we can be, what we want to be, I'm going to give it later on to a group to discuss that and then to do something with it. Yes, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Anything is possible. Prabhupada said that. But things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if on somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one doesn't remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. So with the help of Lord Chaitanya, many things become possible. That is the point. That is our understanding. We depend on his, by his mercy. It can be done. Otherwise, how could we do it? And that's important. Sometimes we think, I am already quite advanced, you know. I mean, Maya doesn't face me out that much these days. Right? I mean, you know, the other day, I mean, we walked over the beach and all those bikinis, this is from a boy's perspective, you know, and all those bikinis didn't do nothing to me. Nothing. I'm getting quite transcendental these days. Is that what actually happens? Then what happens? Is that what happens? No, what really happened is that Cupid was shooting arrows left and right while we were walking on that beach. But somehow the Lord Chaitanya came in between and knocked the arrows out of the way. And we walked right behind. I'm becoming quite a yogi here. Becoming pretty advanced. That is the situation. Lord Chaitanya is saving us all the time. It is by his mercy that we somehow or other move along in this process. And we think it's our credit. We think, I'm getting advanced. It's not that. We are getting mercy. And, therefore, if we forget to seek the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then it will become difficult again. And that would easily happen. So, therefore, we always need to seek the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, and then your hands are shut. You come into the Hare Krishna movement and you have it. We bring into spiritual life the conditioning from the current and many previous lives. Everyone has his own individual nature. What did we bring? Multiple choice. Well, I just, you know, took a few. I have a piece of player here. I have Uncle Scrooge sitting in front of a pile of money. And then I think, well, what if you drink? Many join young, parents, girlfriends, religion. Some join old, they have debts, right? Or something, karma, as we bring. And it's Kali Yuga, of course. One devotee says, whenever I go to my parents, it is as if I'm going to a museum of my old habits. Which I thought was very nice. It was really poetic. You can just, you can look at your old identity. And your parents try to reinforce it. They call you by your old name. And they treat you just as if you never left home. And they hope that if they keep on doing it, that after a little while you start just behaving normal again. That's their secret hope. And you will say, yes, it's very nice, this Krishna consciousness, it's very good, yes, but they hope that you become normal again. And then they'll arrange a marriage for you. So this is another important point, that what to do with this hand luggage. We cannot just ignore it. We cannot just act as if it's not there. It is there. It is real. It's there. We have it. And we have attachments. And how can we just act as if they're not there? You can act as if you're totally transcendental, but you're not. That is the reality. So what to do? Should we then just, well, what to do? Do you ignore it? You say, like, well, you know, these are just material desires and material attachments, too hard at them, you know, just stamp on them, kick them, crush them, you know, nuke them, get rid of them. Or do you say, well, you know, you have to be honest. What do you say?
You have to be honest.
Here, someone wants to be honest. Who wants to nuke them?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I have an idea now. So yes, the brahmachari's mood is, if you don't need it, why would you use it? If your house's mood is, if you're allowed to use it, why would you not use it? Yeah. You see? Yeah. These two moods are. Yeah. One mood is, you have this mood in Krishna consciousness. If you're allowed to use it, why wouldn't you use it? I mean, why would you make it more austere than it already is? Why would you, if it's allowed, why not? Yeah. Whereas a brahmachari or a renunciant would say, why use it if you don't have to use it? You see, there's a big difference in moods. So these two moods exist in our movement. And we have different kinds of people. In the early days of ISKCON, there was first a temple in New York. And they were kind of trained by Prabhupada, and they were strict. Then Prabhupada went to San Francisco, and the New York devotees thought these San Francisco devotees were really loose. There were, first of all, lots of boys and girls together, and there was a whole thing. And the mood in California was, you know, like, beach and sunshine, and, you know, like, why just get so worked up about it, and why make life rough, you know? Australia is a little bit in that way, like California, I guess. I remember years ago, when I was the temple commander in Vrindavan, I used to look after the rooms in the Brahmachari ashram, and the many rooms, and then I gave this room to the Australian devotees. And it was a room that was clean, etc. But it was just a stone floor. Huh? So they come in there and they're like, oh, geez, mate, where's the carpet? Yeah, where's the carpet? Yeah, there was no carpet in the room, you know? So, like, geez, where's the carpet, right? And I hadn't been in Australia at that time, so I didn't quite get it, you know, but now I know. And there's the, yeah, it's like, there's got to be a carpet, there's got to be something to survive, right? Why not? Should be right. So, we can look at our mentoring stress, but a carpet, of course, I mean, it does require vacuum cleaner, right? And so on and so on. And then, for the vacuum cleaner in Vrindavan, you need electricity, which is oftentimes not there. And so there are all kinds of complications. And that concrete floor is easy, right? Throw a little water, you know. So the hand luggage we will bring. So these are all different themes that I am now quickly introducing, and it will come back. We are born in Kali Yuga. Yes. Hello, Sudra Sambhava. Everyone the age of Kali is a Sudra. No one is very qualified. Man, short-lived, quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. Unlucky, so no one has good fortune. Lazy, misguided, quarrelsome, always disturbed. Here is Einstein. He said, I've become rather like King Midas, except that everything turns not into gold, but into a circus. I thought that was pretty good. Definitely. That tells you correct. So, well, that takes us to the second stage, Abhideya, and we'll leave it at that. And it takes us to about 12 o'clock, which is not there because we had a sort of slow start. So, what we do now is we'll just go back a little bit, we backtrack, and oops, here is Freud. So, a little bit of psychology. Considering that we are who we are, if you have to be honest, that means that a little psychology would be in its place. Therefore, I'm looking at a group. We're going to very soon divide up in groups. So one group will deal with this this topic of how it fits and how it doesn't fit in our spiritual life and what we're supposed to do with this. Because psychology is there, right? It's knocking at our door now, right? More and more. Some say, but the Bhagavad Gita has all the answers. What more do you need? Others will say, no, but there are also practical things in life, right, that you have to deal with. And you know, the Bhagavad Gita is not always dealing with those things. What do you do if you have a problem with your mind? Right? What do you do if you're depressed, if you're suffering from depression? And you read the Gita, and you're chanting Hare Krishna, but you still suffer from depressions. Then what do you do? What do you do? Maybe a little psychology could help. Maybe. So, like this, I also say, no way. No way. Just take shelter of the Gita. The Gita will save you. Just follow it. It's just, you're just under the three modes of material nature. Just follow the Gita, and everything will be solved. There's no need to look outside. And what about a little more? Can't you have a little astrology then? And, well, have you balanced your chakras?
No.
No, serious. Have you? No, it's just like going to a chiropractor. You know, some people, they walk like this through life. And it's all right, but you go to the chiropractor, he cracks your bones, and It's a new universe. It's strange. The first time in life, everything looks different. In the same way, a little baby, you get your chakras aligned, and now a new thing, 100 times more powerful than baby. Reconnection. Did you reconnect? Did you? Oh boy. 100 times more powerful, 1,000 times more subtle, reconnection. The latest state of the art. What kind of water do you drink? Are you filtering it to crystals? to realign the water molecules, how to aware of emoto. Have you read about emoto?
Do you know about emoto?
You don't know about emoto. You don't. Can you drink? Are you drinking water? Oh my God. Without emoto, the water molecules are not properly aligned. The water molecules are like totally chaotic. But after they have gone through a process introduced by Mr. Emoto, after they go over the crystals, your water molecules are perfectly aligned and they begin to form beautiful symmetric forms. Then your water molecules will give you all the necessary energy that you need in your life. You want my water filled? Yes. Good. So like this, there are many things that we can look at. One group can look at it and tell us something about it. Let's see what else. Yeah, this one is also good. Huh? So group two, what we must be, what we can be, and what you want to be. That's group two. So let me first make a few groups. I guess, in order to not to sort of respect the brahmacharya ashram, what I usually do is I first put the brahmacharyas in one group, so then they don't have to feel, don't complain to me later on, you know, like, I think the seminar is too much, you know what I mean, we're not maintaining.
Well, he's a stallion, right?
She'd be right, eh? Well, it's up to you guys. You know? You're just ready to go in any group. If there's any brahmacharya wants a brahmacharya group, raise your hand now. Okay, we have a brahmacharya group. There you go. All the brahmacharyas can come together and just do something together. Okay? And I'll talk with you guys after. Then the rest, we can have a group with all those. We can have four groups, I guess. We can have a group with all those who are born in the first 4 months of the year. Okay? So the planetary group can meet here in my corner, and the first 4 months of the year can meet over there, right? At that wall. Then we have the second 4 months of the year. They're over there in that corner. And, so that side, second 4 months of the year, and the last 4 months of the year, they are over there, in that corner. Okay, so you can start doing that. Then the brahmacharis, they get the reality check. Because, you know, I think that would be fitting for brahmacharis. They need a bit of a reality check, right?
I did it my great pleasure today to introduce to you, it's a band of course, what else could it be? In the Brahmacharis, sometimes it is said that those who join the Hare Krishna movement, they are either a band and the others are roadies. That's all we have. And so it's not surprising that our Brahmacharis are musically inclined, and here they are, and they are going to. They have spontaneously written a song on a deep theme, a theme, what you must be, what you can be, and what you want be. And they're all one of these, that's for sure, and therefore, and they argue like anything with each other. But I'm telling you, the curtain is now. Pull open is all yours, and who wants the mic?
I think that was the name over there.
So,
keep coming in. Dear, there are some things that you want to do, some things that you can do, and some things that you must do or be. And there's always a tension between them. But, you know, not all of these things coincide. So I wanted to give an example that happened earlier during the day. Red Redwood, there were blackberries growing on the property. And so I thought, oh, I want to eat some blackberries. I want to go and pick some blackberries. So we went down there, and unfortunately there were no blackberries. The season had ended and it was all shriveled up through. So I could not actually get any blackberries. But then just as we were coming back, we found the jackpot, the master stash of blackberries, and got a whole lot and was ready to just get into it. But then, you know, the realization came from when what we really must do is save these to give them to the devotees for breakfast. And so the tension was all playing on. What I actually wanted in the first place was just to eat blackberries. I couldn't, and in the end, when I could, what I must do was something different again. Is this an example? So I just wanted to sing a song and throw some of this out.
Today, so we have time to wait. Time to take it out.
Bu da bir grubu bile geldi.
So, we're number two, and we're doing a play, a drama, for all of your pleasure. So, as Maharaj was saying earlier, that we all join the Hare Krishna movement, but after we've been in the Hare Krishna movement for some time, we realize that not everyone in this movement is exactly like us. So, this play is going to demonstrate that there are different devotees who join this movement, and this play is about Janmashtami. And it's about ashram devotees coming into the kitchen on Janmashtami. Some of the devotees are more in the mode of goodness, some of the devotees are more in the mode of passion, and some of the devotees are more in the mode of ignorance. So this play will hopefully demonstrate that we're all different, and that even though we join the movement, we think we may all be the same, and everyone's going to be like me, that there's a good chance that maybe they won't be like that. So, we'll begin with the devotees in the mode of goodness in the kitchen, with the kitchen manager.
Hello, Janmashtami, thanks for coming to the service. The schedule is just up here with all the requests that you need to do. Other devotees are going to come on during the day. I'm just going to be in the other kitchen.
Have you done your rounds, Mataji?
Yeah, I've done 64 rounds this morning and I've been
so great to play.
Then I'm going to first come
through. It's such a nice devotee. I'm so looking forward to rendering a great devotion of service to the Lord.
Yeah, good. Let's get started.
Okay. I've got the ingredients already organized. It's in the fridge. I've checked everything out, so everything's ready to go. We've got a holiday special, and we should be early.
Okay, so if we put together, we'll be able to
do what we have to do.
Now, Miss Murder Passion enters.
Excuse me, I'm not going to get away from someone, I have to go. I have Harry now, and I have a skinny rehearsal, and I have to dance, and I have to get up this 5 minutes long clock. Can I just get going? Yeah, what did you get to do?
Yeah, so we have a good
place
here, but
we're going to get quicker.
No, it's actually the standard. We have to go by the schedule. The ingredients
are in the fridge. No, it's going to be quicker.
Please,
I'll have to go together, we'll be able to do everything.
Okay, hello.
So
we have the ingredients.
You haven't even finished half of the
trip? I know, there's nothing
see the moochie it's the skeleton of the kitchen.
Can I touch a leg? She always legs
up.
So as you can see, not everyone in the Hare Krishna group is exactly like us. Some of us are on the road of goodness, some of us are on the road of passion, some are on the road of ignorance. But if we all work together, then just us we can be successful. Hare Krishna.
You have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. And then you have to serve the spiritual master. And then what do you know? What happened? And then you look at it, go to Goloka Vrindavan. And then there's this Radharani, there's Gopi, there's this all these people there. Come, 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 come,
come,
come, come,
Very serious.
Hospital.
But
sounds like a lot. You have to get some work for me.
Do you want to talk to something in front of the teacher?
Yes, that will be standard procedure. We'll do that. We might even send him off to hospital.
Really? But he can't handle it. He can't be in this hospital.
He'll be well looked after.
Hospital?
Well, let's talk. This chat, you've been doing it all the time?
Most of the time, yeah.
That sounds a bit like brainwashing to me.
Yeah, I know. I just read this book and it's amazing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you get your card? Did you get your card? Is it? Yes, from God concept.
Yeah, I can see Indra and Krishna and demons and...
Very good.
Okay.
Did you give me $200?
$200. $200.
We're not going to mention that, but that's it. What we were basically talking about, we have our own choice in being Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, the way he has come up, we are not taking it on a bodily concept. We are basically looking at as if they are devotees, and that's the first qualification that actually is what we look for. And we have the blessings from the spiritual masters within ISKCON, and that way we can actually pick our own life partner. This is one of the points that I thought that was coming when we are in the modern way of choosing a life partner.
Also, as if we choose our own partners, we have the choice of first of all living with her for some time, knowing the person very well, and we can know more about the other person. Then we make sure she's going to be going to be together for lifelong, and that gives us more freedom as well.
Choosing a Krishna consciousness partner and helps both the partners to make progress in Krishna consciousness. And that's parents from India, they all may not know, because they have their own opinions and ideas about devotional service that may not necessarily follow the guidelines set by acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, and give them clear instructions to us all.
So what we're saying is we're not taking it on the caste or creed or whatever. We are purely taking it on the model where a devotee can choose a life partner on their own accord. But it still comes from the Guru Maharaj's parents at some stage. So that's what we have.
More practical about this game in time.
Shall we put it as an open?
Sure.
Yeah? Does anyone want to add any other points where they feel that traditional or a modern way of
Rohit said how in the modern way he lives with the person for a little while and get to see whether he's good or not. I don't think that's what it's about. You know, like you can just live with somebody just like that without getting married.
You can't live with an associate.
What I've seen, especially for people from India background, that even you see the temple manager and temple president and all that. I've seen that in the past that there have been situations where a devotee from an Indian background tries to marry a girl from a Western background or vice versa, from a Western background boy, and many times it doesn't work out. Maybe it works out for some time, but then it doesn't work out. So therefore this system has been established where that they can associate, as much as you pointed out, associate for some time. But on the other hand, I would rather say that the more, and at the same time, this association is that the parents are also trying to be devotees, and things like that, this may not work out. If the parents are very serious and surrendered, that they can adopt to this, a different story, and it all depends on circumstances. So we can't be fanatic on this side or that side. So the only thing is the only solution for this is basically try as much as possible trying to understand your psychology and based on that kind of learning as much as possible. And at the same time, be Krishna conscious. The person is Krishna conscious. And unless there's a special interference from Guru Maharaj or something, that's a different story. But otherwise, it's always better that if someone understands the psychological background and as much as possible going through the parents traditionally. And getting married to a devotee.
Okay, the next topic we are going to be talking blood is a role of a woman in Krishna consciousness. So we will have a modern viewpoint and a traditional viewpoint that we can always put to the audience after that. So you can come up with your own points and we will get that up when we start up with the
presentation. I wrote my son to marry a girl who will be at home. Actually, look at your mother, my wife, she has been at home only. See, what our viewpoint in our Hindu culture and traditionally what, the wife is supposed to have the husband, She will, I will go over to her, she will, evening when I come, the dosa and sambar, I will be cooked at home. But what is, my daughter-in-law, she is telling that, she is doing some harina, some book distribution and all. I don't like, all these people, going out, all males are all looking, and she is interacting with all these people. And I told that, Una Bhakta, Brahman, I told you, you put the thread. He is saying, I am not qualified, Brahmin is not my birth and all that. My parents don't know. When I was 5 years old only, they called all the village people, we had nice ceremony, nice kids were there, very ceremony was there. I think the Brahmin initiative, I don't understand all this. How he is convinced, in fact, telling me the daughter-in-law, he is not Brahmin initiation. I have never heard that woman, by Brahmin initiation. This is unheard of.
Well, basically, the role of a woman in Krishna consciousness, if I say something, it could be in trouble here. So they can be a devotee and they can work at the same time too as well. I mean, we see a lot of Maharajis who are actually going out, especially in the Garasta ashram, where Maharajis are actually working, lifting up the family, at the same time being devotees too as well. That's one of the points, this is due to economic pressure sometimes that we go through. And I suppose that, in a way, being modern helps. This is what I came up with. Anything else you want to say?
As Prabhupada said, both men and women are equal in this present age. Like, it is a message for even women to go out and to do these kind of things. It's very good that they are, what I can say is that they are very nice, to carry on their devotional activities, as well as working and supporting the children, for which today's age is very, essential as well. Bringing up children in a proper Krishna consciousness way.
Women working in the modern time, and if it helps that not just the husband and wife, but the whole family to remind and make progress in Krishna consciousness, it's definitely, in my opinion, a good thing. Women working and the economic benefits of working helps the family, the whole family to progress in Krishna consciousness, it's a good thing.
Well, I've heard that the Bhattis and see what modern viewpoint you think about it.
I know. That's why it was a bit difficult for us to come up with.
That Prabhupada said that women in Krishna consciousness would like a ladder to the lion in the field. So, Prabhupada is saying that the book that women is like a ladder to the lion in the field. Like, at home she has her duty to serve her husband and look after the children and look after the house nicely. And the bill is required, like, when she has to go out and distribution of her, she's really that she really moves for it, and she's like a lion trying to avoid a booking. That's what I'm going to try to do.
One concern I have is just the point you brought up about managers getting employment. I think that's something that has to be very, managers have to be very careful with, because we see in the modern world that children get neglected a lot of the time. It usually means that both parents are going to work, then the children have to usually go into daycare and so forth, and that means actually the quality of parenting is greatly reduced. So just when you made that point, I always question that point.
Yeah.
It's just something which really has to be addressed very carefully, because it's, you know, certainly one of the main services that the husband and the wife is to bring up their children. That is their main duty. So if that's neglected in any way, if the children are suffering in any way, then that has to be very, you know, careful. So just when you made that point, you know, you're emphasizing like about the other women being able to go out and get work and so forth. Okay, so there's no problem with the equality side of it, but then it comes down to how are the children going to be looked out in that situation.
What about if the man says it's not fair to have your own work?
Yes,
sir.
Does work for
me. The other point which actually comes to mind was in Greece, Martinis actually came go on to the altar, which we were discussing in modern terms that we're talking about. Traditionally, they could not even go on to the altar. I don't know if anyone would want to throw a point at that.
The point that I just wanted to make in relation to this reversal of roles is that there are roles in society for somebody who's raising and caring for children, roles in society for somebody who's a provider and a father figure, and that different people can take these roles on, but there is a kind of platonic ideal for these types. The person who is most qualified to be a man is a man, the person who is most qualified to be a woman is a woman. But that also it goes both ways. You talk about the role of women in Christian consciousness, what about the role of men? They don't get off scot-free either. If we want to take this idea that women should have this particular role, stay home and care for the children, then the men must equally provide protection and provide leadership and properly fulfill their duties. They can't just expect it to be a one-sided affair.
When we speak about traditional goals and middle and altar, I was thinking that the tradition that we are looking at is the tradition of Vajra Ashram, and we're looking at Brahminical culture, and there we're looking at a tradition which comes in certain positions. But what we're not looking at is the Vaishnava culture that we have. It's not the same as the Vajra Ashram culture. The Vaishnava culture is above the Vajra Ashram culture, because in the Vaishnava culture we are purely living as the servants of Krishna. Then both men and women can do that service. So it's not that we are modern by allowing ladies to worship the deities, but we are rather a transcendental culture. So it's not that we deviate from the Brahminical culture tradition and go free form. No, we're going to the Vaishnava culture, and that allows women, because it considers everyone who is a servant of Krishna can do that service. That's how I do that top in.
Okay, what we'll do is we'll quickly go on to the third topic, which is preaching. And how it's tackled, or how it was in traditional times, and how in modern times we can say it's beneficial. So let's There is any kind of time. Traditionally, preaching was very low key profile. And today, in so called modern, people use all sort of media and all sort of medium for preaching. That's quite it dilutes the focus of spiritual life. Sannyasis never should never leave the country. Today, you see all over the world they are traveling and preaching Krishna. Again, I heard Hari Burman, he composed Krishna theme in his song, then it is diluted his image too much. So, it is not the right way of preaching Krishna consciousness. And again, there is no concept called Brahmachari or Brahmachari Ashram in traditional. In modern days, we have accepted this sort of tradition. So, yes.
Okay, a few of the points actually do come to mind when we talk about preaching more than the other first two topics. In today's day and age, we take example of Maharajas like Indra Yoga Maharaj, where he's basically going to college and other places like that, where he's preaching and at the same time having live bands and music and everything. And he's attracting so many devotees, and that way, being a traveling preacher, that he is not only him. We talked about even George Harrison, for that matter. George Harrison, you might recall, he put that song, "I Really Want to See You, Lord." That actually became so famous and was in number one charts for months and months to come. In fact, I had one of my senior managers only 2 days ago talk to me, and he said, I heard this song, this "I Really Want to See You, Lord," and he straight away thought of me. He started singing while he was doing party, he was saying Hare Krishna, and he kept on going. So, indirectly he's been preaching, and people are still saying Hare Krishna. So that. Even this type of preaching, modern day preaching, has helped in quite a bit to explore the one thing in my world that wanted that Krishna consciousness be spread in every town and village. I mean, everyone is staying in Krishna consciousness somehow, indirectly or directly.
Yeah, preaching, if one were to learn the Krishna consciousness fully, then go to India and then find a spiritual master and then learn the language, like Sanskrit like language, and become a thorough scholar before one could read all the scriptures and then understand. By translating all these Vedic scriptures into modern languages, it exposes the spiritual knowledge to the whole world, like idea and Srila Prabhupada's books being translated over 60 languages also. So that gives the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and other Vaishnava scriptures to everyone in the world. So one need not to go all of their way, all the way to India, with such struggle to find the message. Find the messages in scripture. So this kind of modern idea helps Krishna consciousness. It gives Krishna consciousness to more people.
So just adding on to that point where this modern day preaching, what Srila Prabhupada has started, is not actually seeing any caste or creed or whatever. Everyone is taking on to Krishna consciousness, how he has spread
and started in the West, and now, as a result, even the Westerners, even the Easterners, like in India, everyone is taking as a result of looking at what the Western people are taking. So this is what I thought modern day preaching has helped move this movement into a different dimension.
And also, as Prabhu said, sannyasis should be only between the country and all. But I do not agree with that one. Because of the more, you know, sannyasis traveling, you know, all over the world and preaching the message of Krishna, so many people are able to take this Krishna consciousness, which normally is not possible. And even I was seeing a video in Russia where the devotees are preaching, and so many were distributing the Krishna prasadam. So it gives an opportunity for many, many people to at least start off their Krishna conscious life. If not, like, you know, start off with quality, but at least they have started from there. And this is a very good opportunity where all the modern sannyasis are doing this. And that is the reason why I am here in Krishna consciousness.
Prabhupada just mentioned the point before that how the Indian people get inspired by the foreign devotees. I remember the first time when I saw the devotees in Mumbai as they were going with my worker to some place, and I saw the 3-4 foreign devotees, you know, playing Vedanga and dancing. It was like whole Indian crowd just, you know, around them and just looking, you know. And I was just thinking, and I told that worker, you know, how shameful it is that, you know, people are being Indian. I'm not chanting the Hare Krishna, and these people were chanting Hare Krishna. I remember the four, you know, white color people that time. And I was thinking, when will I be, you know, dancing like that? So it was like, I remember how I got inspired by those foreign devotees. So it's right that, you know, Western devotees make a lot of impact on the Indian people to transform into devotees.
Anyone likes to share anything, I guess?
In terms of really modern organization, this is going very well here in Western countries, but in South India and all, what they are doing is ISKCON temple, the standard is very, very high. Because they have to be, naturally those devotees who are becoming devotees there and running the temple there in South India and all, they are also from a very traditional background, and the standards are very, very high. And as a result of standards being high, this is not similar to Western temples. It's very different in Indian ISKCON temples. Standard is very high. So because of that, ISKCON is being looked up by the other sects, like Sri Vaishnavas, and all their respects. But if they don't, if there is the modern technology and all introduced too much and all that, naturally, they will lose respect amongst the community and the community. Other samsthas, and they will not grow. That's also a speaker.
Which brings us to our last topic, technology.
Taking a long time, 15 minutes to take a lot, so maybe you have to use the gospel.
Should we finish?
Yeah. Sorry. No, not at all. Sorry for cutting you off, but the technology takes a long time, and we need a little break, right, because we're getting to our lunch break. And I think lunch was 2 o'clock, if I remember. I didn't bring my sheet and schedule. Approximately 2. And then we resume at 4, right? Yeah. At 4. So we'll leave at 4 and then we'll take it from there exactly what we'll do. I thank you all for your contributions. As we are going through this process, we're not just performing, but we are thinking. Right? And that's the idea. The purpose is that we think, right? That we are not just sitting and hearing as it goes in here and goes out there, but rather that all of us think about different tensions and giving shape. Of course, we also see here that we are a very multicultural a multicultural movement coming together from many different backgrounds. The true United Nations, as Rama said, and that everyone has some strength. I think one can see differences and one can also see strength. One can see that, for example, because in India there's a lot of tradition, and that still, even if we become modernized, but still the tradition is there, strongly, in the background. Like he said, you know, and as all the Western boys, and I thought, I should be doing this. Well, you know, we never thought that when we saw the Hare Krishnas. We just, you know, we were Westerners and we saw these guys in the bed sheets. I just thought, these guys are cracked. They totally lost it. That's what I first thought. And it took me some time. In fact, I saw them coming. There was this gray van, and it pulled in my tongue, and the back door flapped open, and all these little green things, you know. Too many. And I thought that they had just landed. I went in a shop and looked from behind the glass, and someone said, "It's a dangerous sector." Oh, they're sure dangerous. So that was our perception. So little did we know, but in India, they know what they should be doing. They know something. So because they know something, therefore it's like Prabhupada used to say, that the Indians are very close to Krishna, but they turn their back to Krishna. The Westerners are far further from Krishna, but they turn their face to Krishna. So we see a lot of fresh enthusiasm and a lot of creativity coming out of the West. They wrote a song in no time. Pretty good. And it was like out of nothing, you know, a whole poetic song, you know. So like that, we see a lot of variety of inputs, which also makes up the identity of this movement. Everyone has his part to play. With that, I think I'll leave it and pick up this afternoon from where we left off. I'll think about it myself, where we'll take this seminar, because I sort of want it to be a combination of something that I present and something that you will digest and you will present. Right, so I think it's sort of my turn, so it doesn't mean that we have to take it when the chance of inspiration will come. Let them take the break for lunch, go outside, get some fresh air, and so on, and work on our appetite, and then 4 o'clock, right, 4 o'clock, Paka. No IST, Indian Standard Time. Okay, thank you very much.